Speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. In my personal opinion, Palm Sunday is the most liturgically complicated day in the church year. And liturgical means like it's a fancy word for the structure of the service. And I find today to be one of the most complicated days. And the reason for that is that the way in which we observe Palm Sunday has changed drastically in the last 25 to 30 years. So when I was growing up in the church, Palm Sunday was Palm Sunday. It was just Palm Sunday. It's a day all to itself. And then you would have the Holy Week services of Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, maybe the Great Easter Vigil, and then Easter Sunday. But Palm Sunday was a day that stood all by itself, and you celebrated Jesus' glorious coming into the city of Jerusalem, his glorious entrance into the city of Jerusalem. But then there were a couple of really big changes that happened. And one was people-led, and one was clergy-led. So the big thing that happened people-led is that people went back to the workforce, and workforces changed, and Good Friday was no longer a day where the majority of people had off, meaning that the majority of people could no longer come to a Good Friday service, say, at noon, because they were working, and their boss didn't like it when everyone left all at once. The other big thing that changed was clergy. There's a huge clergy shortage in pretty much every organized religion, and in the Episcopal Church, it's equally across all boards. And so what happened is that you had clergy who were serving part-time, or like you guys, you have clergy that are serving multiple communities at the same time, meaning that clergy were no longer able to be in two places at once, and they couldn't offer services to both worshiping communities on things like Good Friday. So one church had a Good Friday service and not the other, which is what we'll experience this week. So what happened for a vast majority of worshiping Christians over the past 25 to 30 years is that they would come to Palm Sunday, and then they couldn't, or they were not offered a service again until Easter Sunday. So they went from celebration to celebration without ever going through Good Friday. And the church leaders got together and they said, that's a problem. We can't go from celebration to celebration. We have to go through Good Friday. And the liturgy of Good Friday is unique. Among all other liturgies that the church does, the Good Friday liturgy is unique. It is a service where communion is never offered. It's a service where there are no dressings on the altar, meaning the altar is completely bare. It can be a lay-led service. You don't actually need a priest to do it. It can be a lay-led service. And the entire service focuses on Jesus's death, and it leaves you there. It leaves you in Jesus's death. It does not jump to the resurrection. It leaves you in sadness and darkness and despair. It doesn't take away the hope of Easter. It does leave you with a glimmer of hope. It doesn't completely leave you without any hope. But for the most part, Good Friday slows things down. And it says we're going to stay here in the hardship a little bit longer. And so when people were going from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday without ever walking through that, the church leaders got together and tried to make a really profound statement and said, as a church, we have to get to Good Friday because that's what happens in people's lives. So liturgy, the structure of worship, when it is done well, which hopefully it is regularly done well, but when it is done well, the main point of liturgy is to mimic what happens in people's lives, is to mimic the things that they go through on a regular basis and provide a structured, ritualistic way in which to encounter those things. And so when we say in our liturgies that you can go from celebration to celebration without ever going through the hardship of Good Friday, sometimes a subconscious message is sent to people that says, we only want the joy in church. Don't bring your hardship to us. We don't have time for that. We'll get to that later. And so the church leaders about 30 years ago got together and said, we have to figure out a way in which Good Friday is read on a Sunday service because it is so important that people have the ability to experience sadness together as a community. And so the way in which we worshiped in Palm Sunday changed. And it is no longer a day that stands by itself. It is now Palm Sunday / Good Friday, and this year / Maundy Thursday. And for me, that's really hard because it feels like liturgical whiplash because you come here, you celebrate Palm Sunday. Today, we're going to strip the altar because you guys don't have the Maundy Thursday service. St. Stephen's does, so we're going to strip the altar. We're going to read the Passion narrative according to Matthew. Then we're going to leave. Then we're going to rewind. And on Thursday, we're going to do it all again with the Maundy Thursday service. Then on Friday, we'll have the Good Friday service where we read from John's Gospel and then Easter Sunday. So for me, it's a tough day because I don't really know where I'm supposed to be most of the time. And it feels like we're doing three different things all rolled into one day. But the reason we do it is because as much as I want it to be true, and as much as you probably want it to be true, people's lives are not celebration to celebration. They, in fact, have a lot of darkness and hardship and despair and sadness. And when we say that we can bring those things to church and we can sit in them together without fixing it, with a small glimmer of hope, maybe, then there's a profound statement that is given. You can bring your entire self to church, the self that is happy and celebrating, the self that is in despair, the self that is questioning and unsure of where God is in that moment, all of it. You can all come to church, and we can hold it together as a community. So this is Holy Week. It's the week in which we remember Jesus' last week on earth, from his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to Easter resurrection, 1 week from today. And we're going to do that through a variety of worshiping opportunities. You're going to have Maundy Thursday, which is the celebration and the institution of communion, where at St. Stephen's, we will strip the altar. We will wash feet. If you don't like foot washing, that's okay. You can watch other people's feet get washed, or you can wash and have your feet be washed as well. And we remember the last night that Jesus was with his friends. And then on Good Friday here at St. Paul's, we're going to have the Good Friday service, where we're going to hear the Passion narrative, which is the story of Jesus' death told from the Gospel of John. And then we're going to sit in that for 3 days. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to come together and we're going to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. So my invitation for you this coming week is to let Holy Week wash over you. Let all of the emotions that come with Holy Week come into you and be present in them and feel them, and go from today's celebration to kind of the anticipation of Maundy Thursday, to the despair of Good Friday, to then the overwhelming joy of Easter. Let them all wash over you. And know that as a community, we can not only hold those feelings this week, but we can in fact hold those feelings all year long. And you are welcome to bring them all to church. Amen.